Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. We're so excited to have you with us tonight, as we are every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Now we'd like to, as usual, have you join us for devotion. We'll have song, scripture by Reverend Dr. James Nooks, and I will lead in prayer. Join us as we listen to June Rochelle sing about worship.
Now it's time to worship. Worship His name. Give Him all the glory.
Text is taken from Mark chapter 1,
verses 21 through 34. And they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority, and not as the scribes. And immediately there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." The unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. And they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? A new teaching? With authority, he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And at once his fame spread everywhere throughout all the surrounding region of Galilee. And immediately he left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law lay sick with a fever, and immediately they told him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and the fever left her, and she served them. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered together about the door. And he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. God adds a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the doing of his word. It is the word of God.
Amen. Amen. Would you join me as we pray? God, we come before you and we're just come sitting at your feet, much like Mary, wanting to learn, to grow, to be taught by you, to expand our knowledge, to be closer to you, to walk like you, to be more like you. And as we come tonight, we thank you for our teacher, Dr. Nooks, who has vested time studying to bring forth a teaching that will empower our spirit, that will help our inner man grow, that will lead us into a closer relationship with you. And so we ask that we might focus, that we might be excited about our new learning for this day, and be grateful for every opportunity we have to struggle, to learn, to see with spiritual eyes and be more like you. We ask these blessings now in the name of your Son, Jesus. We pray, trusting you for all things. Let us say amen.
Amen.
God, we come before you. I'm just so excited. Excuse me, I was just in a promo. I'm so excited tonight as we're looking at the theme that Dr. Nooks has brought for us. We first started off talking about Christ in the Old Testament. Last month we talked about God as Mother, Father. This month we're talking about God as the Son, Jesus. And we talked about Christ in the Old Testament, God with us, Emmanuel. We talked about the absolute power of Christ. And this last week, we will be talking about Jesus as the healer. So hopefully there are some questions that those of you may have regarding this topic that you're interested in. Please give us a call tonight at 646-478-4932 and join the discussion. But we're excited. Dr. Nooks always has a good lesson for us. And Dr. Nooks, if you're ready, we can go. Let's go. Let's go.
Amen. Amen. So perhaps we can see, can we have a roll call to see who's online with us?
Just the two of us tonight.
Okay. Well, those that will be listening in, we greet you in the name of Jesus. And our study this month is about, you know, God the Son, talking about Jesus Christ. And we feel that it's very important that we believe in Jesus Christ, especially as Christians. Many people have tried to dismiss Jesus, and even in prayers in public, we often at gatherings do not say Jesus. So we are concerned about that because we believe that there's power in the name of Jesus. And tonight we want to talk about Jesus, the healer. And as we broach this subject, for those that are listening in may be wondering what it means to be healed. And I just wanted to start a discussion for those that are participating in the Bible study tonight about what it means to be healed. And to that point, just like the, between Dr. Susie and myself, and perhaps those that will be joining us, ask the question, what illnesses do we suffer from in our society today? What illnesses do we suffer from? And this is something that as we, those that listen in might ask that question also. What is it that we suffer from in our society today? Dr. Susie, do you have some
Amen.
Insight into
Amen.
That?
Amen. Dr. Nix, I do, and thank you, Brett, for joining us tonight. But we're on the subject, as you heard, Dr. Nix, we're talking about what are some of the illnesses our community is experiencing today. And Dr. Nix, I would say that mental illness is a major challenge among us. I would say that 1 in 3 people have diabetes. I would also say cancer is a predominant illness, prostate for men and breast cancer for women. So we have, and Eric is joining us. And we also, there's so many major things that are plaguing us. Those three, I think, are the top for me. Brett, did you have any that you wanted to bring to the table?
Yeah. Excuse me. Yes. I think we have to look at something that is close to your home and heart. That's the sickle cell disease. That almost seems like it's a forgotten subject. Every time I go to a fair or some event where they have something about diabetes or heart disease, they have no brochures whatsoever on sickle cell. The other thing that I believe that that we're mankind is suffering from, and that's AIDS. If you remember correctly, when there was no war going on and we had nobody being killed, population was getting really large. Here comes sickle cell. I mean, here comes
HIV.
This one disease, and there's no cure for it. Herpes is another one that came about that way. So I think that we have to look at a lot of things that are going on. Mental health, of course. But the other part of it is that there's a disease going around amongst all of us that needs prayer about, and that is the whole concept of our health system. We need to have that under prayer, because with the resources that we have in this country, there should not be one U.S. citizen that has to pay for health care. If they can do it in Canada and England, we should be able to do it here. I'm done.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Brett. Thank you. Dr.
Eric
Susie.
Is on the line. Dr. Nell.
Yes. Eric, we're asking about the illnesses that we have in our society today, in our cultures. Just trying to share something with our listeners so that they can, I think, get an understanding about Jesus the healer. So what illnesses would you say we have in our society today?
Dr.
Brother Harold.
He may be on mute.
Yeah. While he's getting off of mute, I just wanted to share with our listeners that I agree with all the illnesses that have been mentioned. And I would add to that.
I'm sorry, Dr. Nooks. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
I forgot my own rule. I was on mute. pardon me.
Oh, that's fine.
But what I was saying is this, and the audience know I'm the for real guy. So the first one is sin. The wages of sin is death. That ended through Adam, and that is a sickness in our society. Whether we want to address it or not, it is. But for me, the other two is depression and anxiety, because we as human beings suffer needlessly because we don't let God take care of stuff that God's supposed to be taking care of. And so those depression and anxiety manifest itself that it causes us to do other things. It causes us to overeat. It causes us not to get enough sleep. It causes us not to drink enough water. It causes us to do risky behaviors that cause other things to happen to us. And so I would just utilize those three to start with.
Amen. Amen. And our listeners, I think you've been given a great list of illnesses that face our society. And I was going to lump them into three big categories, and that is mental illnesses, psychological illnesses, and physical illnesses. Those that have been participated with us have really given us some good examples of those illnesses. So a lot of times when we think of healing that Jesus did, we only think of the physical. That's why I wanted to bring out, and those that are participating with us really brought it out, that there are illnesses that are not just physical. And I see that every day as a chaplain. And many people, they need to have somebody to talk to help them with their illnesses. They need to have somebody to pray with them to help them with their illnesses. So illnesses are not just physical. And sometimes the psychosocial, spiritual illnesses are just as great or greater than the physical illnesses. Even those that are terminal patients, they need to be comforted. They need to have love. They need to not be depressed. And depression and anxiety, as Brother Eric pointed out here, are serious illnesses in our society and cause us to do all kinds of things. So we want to invite you to pray with us and study with us. And I want us to look at, first read our scripture that we talked about. Somebody needs to put their phone on mute. Mark 1, 21, and I want to go all the way to 45. So can somebody find that for us? Mark 1, 21 through 45.
I have it.
Okay. Amen.
Mark 1, 21 through 45. I'll start. I'm reading from the Message version.
Amen.
It says, "Then they entered Capernaum. When the Sabbath arrived, Jesus lost no time in getting to the meeting place. He spent the day there teaching. They were surprised at his teaching, so forthright, so confident, not quibbling and quoting like the religious scholars. And suddenly, while sitting in the meeting place, he was interrupted by a man who was deeply disturbed and yelling out, 'What business do you have here with us, Jesus? Nazarene? I know what you're up to. You're the Holy One of God, and you've come to destroy us.' Jesus shut him up. 'Quiet. Get out of him.' The afflicted spirit threw the man into spasms, protesting loudly, and got out. Everyone there was incredulous, buzzing with curiosity. 'What's going on here? A new teaching that does what it says? He shuts up defiling demonic spirits and sends them packing.' News of this traveled fast and was soon all over Galilee. directly on leaving the meeting place, they came to Simon and Andrew's house, accompanied by James and John. Simon's mother-in-law was sick in bed, burning up with fever. They told Jesus he went to her, took her hand, and raised her up. No sooner had the fever left than she was up fixing dinner for them. Through 31. Can I finish? 32 through 34 says,
I want you to go.
That evening.
No, I want you to go.
Go ahead.
Go all the way to 45, Dr. Kuzi. All the way to 45.
That evening, after the sun was down, they brought sick and evil afflicted people to him. The whole city lined up at his door. He cured their sick bodies and tormented spirits because the demons knew his true identity. He didn't let them say a word. While it was still night, way before dawn, he got up and went out to a secluded spot and prayed. Simon and those with him went looking for him. They found him and said, "Everybody's looking for you." Then Jesus said, "Let's go to the rest of the village so I can preach there also. This is why I've come." He went to their meeting places all through Galilee, preaching and throwing out the demons. A leper came to him, begging on his knees, "If you want to, you can cleanse me." Deeply moved, Jesus put out his hand, touched him, and said, "I want to. Be clean." Then and there the leprosy was gone. Skin smooth and healthy. Jesus dismissed him with strict orders. "Say nothing to anyone. Take the offering for cleansing that Moses prescribed and present yourself to the priest. This will validate your healing to the people." But as soon as the man was out of earshot, he told everyone he met what had happened, spreading the news all over town. So Jesus kept two out of the way places, no longer able to move freely in and out of the city. But people found him and came from all over.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. So,
amen.
So in that text, we have a lot of different types of healings, don't we?
We sure do.
You know, it started out with a man possessed by demons. Now, there are people that have a hard time with demon possession and believing in it. But I don't know about you, but I, you know, that some people in this case would have thought that that person had a mental illness instead of demon possession. But I believe that demons can possess people. There was
Doctor, this is
woman.
Eric.
Yes.
This is Eric. The only way they're going to function in this realm is to possess people. They don't have the capacity to work in this realm without possessing people.
Amen. Amen.
So that is actually what goes on, and it is documented that a lot of folks, I can't say documented because there are those who are skeptic, but I would venture to say, non-scientific, but just monitoring behavior, that most of the folks who have mental health issues are possessed. God creates us with a strong mind and a clean heart, and what we bring in and what we accept is what will take over us. And, you know, if you begin to play with that kind of stuff, it will take over and take advantage. And demons cannot function in this realm without the help of a human body.
Amen.
You know, people don't understand that, but they cannot function in this realm without the access of a human body, which is why when you read in the scripture, they inhabited humans, because that's the only way that they can have function and access in this physical plane that we occupy.
Amen. Amen.
So are you this is Dr. Susie. So Eric, are you saying that everybody who has depression is demon possessed? Or possessed?
I'm not saying that everybody Now, I'm not saying that everybody that has depression is demon-possessed, because there are some other things that can cause depression. But at the root
That's what I was trying to get clear, because the African-American community refused to go to get help, you know, when it could be hormonal, it could be other issues that are leading and causing those things. But, you know, they won't go get help because they are fearful that someone might think they're crazy. So
Amen.
We have
well,
to
truth be
realize.
Well, see, I'm glad you said that, Dr. Susan, because truth be told, we all are crazy. The only thing that keeps some of us sane is Jesus Christ that keeps us in our right mind.
Amen.
In all honesty, because without that relationship and presence with God, the human mind and body is capable of any and everything. So there is some craziness there. The only thing that checks that is that relationship with God. But seeking professional help for stuff that is going on with us does not mean that we're crazy. I would say we're crazy if we don't seek help. If you know that something is wrong, if you know that something is wrong with you, or you perceive that something is wrong, or something is off, something is just, I mean, we all get that feeling, something is just not right. Why wouldn't you seek help for that? It appears to me to be crazy not to seek help for that.
This is Dr. Susan.
Well, and this,
I think.
Go ahead, Dr. Susan.
Dr. Nooks, and my question would be, in this real situation, I think we need to understand that the enemy can use those types of things. And so when we pray and go to the Lord daily, that might be something that we would consider. And it's nothing to be fearful of to ask God to protect us against the enemy using us in any form or fashion, because depression can be used by the enemy, or you know, it can start off that way. I mean, different physical things can inhabit, like you said, that can inhabit us and cause us to have pain, and as we saw with this text. So I guess what I'm saying is, not that we should ignore the demonic proponent, but that we should not say that it's it all the time, but be praying that it won't be all the time. Does that make sense? So that we're
yes,
consulting the Lord on all situations, and that we don't give the enemy any leeway. So when we go before the Lord in the morning and we're talking to the Lord daily, whenever that may be, that we're asking for cleansing and protection by putting on our armor so that the enemy won't have the ability to play and mop the floor up with us. So that's all I'm saying.
Amen. Yeah, and I was just going to add that this is the deception that Satan has over us. Satan plays games with us, and of course we realize in Ephesians 10, and 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the world, rulers of this present darkness, against spiritual hosts, wickedness in high places. So we know that Satan and Brother Eric was talking about the fact that demons possess us, but Satan influences us, and Satan works with our
Absolutely.
Minds, and so we are being moved by Satan, and what is Satan tricks us into believing that we don't need Jesus, we don't need prayer to help us, and that's why it's so important that we look at the text. And Brother Brett, I know you want to get in there and say something, but Jesus, when this demon was in there, Jesus told him to get out of him, be silent, and come out of him. So the 25th verse is important for our listeners that are listening, Ken, that we still need Jesus, the healer, when these things happen, whether it's demon possession, whether it's depression, whatever it is, we still need to call on the name of Jesus. So, Brother
Amen.
Brett, go ahead. I'm sorry. I meant to comment here when you were afraid
to
speak.
You're fine. I was just going to say that one of the reasons why black men especially do not go and seek medical help. It's something my father and I talked about when I was in high school, and that is coming from the South. He was out of Tennessee. A lot of doctors and stuff were prominent people that were also Klan members. So black people didn't trust a local doctor. They didn't trust the people in the hospital.
Amen.
They saw that as a place that
Amen.
They would go and die because they didn't know what kind of experiments or anything that they were running on them. But it took my generation to get my dad to go and get a checkup and get his health straight. And that's why he lived to be older than I am. So, but I'm thankful that God has given us that education and has utilized people to make our lives last longer than what it would have been if we were talking about in the 20s and 30s. But that knowledge comes through Jesus Christ. When God created
Amen.
Us. So I give all the honor
Amen.
To God.
And so, and one of the big experiments that they did was the Tuskegee experiment,
yeah,
where
syphilis.
You know, like four,
yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And those black men had syphilis, and they had the healing, and wouldn't even give it to them. Some of them died, and some of them they were never given the penicillin that they needed to be healed, and it was there all the time. So, and that caused a great uproar in the African American community, and caused a lot of distrust. But there were other experiments besides that that went on, too, where people were utilized and mistreated. So we have here, and the people were amazed at Jesus for casting out demons at that time. And they were wondering what kind of authority, what kind of power he commands. And then he went to the synagogue and then in the house of Simon and Andrew, and there he healed, touched Simon's mother, mother-in-law, and healed her of a fever. So, you know, we have many people that suffer from illnesses, fevers, and all kinds of issues, and Jesus healed her with a touch. So Jesus, the healer here, perhaps some of you that are listening in that want to participate here, have you seen or experienced the healing touch of Jesus with anybody? Can you testify, perhaps some of those that are listening in, where you've seen people heal?
This is Eric. I got a testimony, and a very strong one. This would have been probably about 7-8 years ago. Going into Easter, I had been fasting, and I was on a 46-day fast. And my father-in-law, my wife's father, had slipped into a coma, was in the hospital over in Houston, unresponsive, had been that way for weeks. And we were on our way to San Antonio to visit her mom for Easter, stopped in Houston on Good Friday to see him. And she went in, and I went in, and she was there beside him, he's laying in bed, tubes everywhere, holding his hand, talking to him, trying to get him responsive, and he wasn't responsive at all. And she went to talk to the nurses about something. And I grabbed his hand and prayed, and I said, Lord, I don't know if he believes. I don't know what his relationship is with you, but I'm asking that you would heal him till he gets that right. And I know that you are able to do so. And the next thing I know, they picking me up off the floor because I'm out. And, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? And my wife's like, well, he hasn't eaten in 40 days. And, you got to take me downstairs to the cafeteria. You got to get something. You got to get something to eat. He's this, that, and the other. And I'm like, that ain't it. So, anyway, not to argue with them and this, that, and the other, I went on down there and I ate. That was Friday. Monday morning, we stopped back through Houston on our way back to Alabama. He was alert. He was cognitive. He was talking. He was like nothing happened. Got better. Got out of the hospital. Lived another couple of years. And, you know, they was, oh, you know, it's a miracle, and it wasn't until last year that I told my wife exactly what happened. It wasn't no miracle. Yeah. Well, it was a miracle. Don't get me wrong. It was a miracle. But it was God intervening because of an intercessory prayer of someone who believed and trusted
my Lord
that God could do
that.
It wasn't just happenstance.
Amen.
It wasn't just having conversation. It was the intercessory prayer of someone who believed and trusted that God could do that. And
Amen.
God answered that prayer.
Amen.
This is Dr. Susie. Dr. Nix, how many examples were you going to take tonight?
Go ahead, Dr. Susie.
As many as want to testify,
like to,
Dr. Susie.
Yeah, we'd like to like our listeners to understand Jesus the healer. So we're trying to help them to understand Jesus the healer. So
amen.
We welcome.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I think God is miraculous. And that God chooses to heal, and to sometimes the purpose is so that we can understand the power of God's handling that which is impossible. You know, knowing that God, the song they used to sing, God specializes in some things impossible. He'll do what no other power can do.
Yes.
And one of the situations is, you know, I remember I was with you, Dr. Nix, when we were having lunch. And I had a pain in my chest. And I thought, well, you know, it's okay. I'll just go home and lay down. You know, take me home. And so he said, no, we're going to the hospital. So went to the heart hospital. And they couldn't figure it out. I ended up having a pulmonary embolism, and the doctors came in and they said, I don't know how you're here, because the clot was a big clot that went through your heart and lodged in your lungs. And 6 months earlier, I just had a friend that had the same thing happen that died and was not here to tell the story. So I know the healing power of God. I think, Brother Eric, you came down at time too. Was kind of a touch and go situation. So I know that God heals, and it's to, you know, a reminder for us that we're still here. If we're still here, there's something we need to be doing. There's some business of God we need to be about. And so I can speak to that.
Yeah,
Amen.
This is Eric. I absolutely. I got diagnosed with, and the doctor told me this. Yeah, I had pneumonia, and he said I'd never seen anything like that. The fluid turned to gel. He said that normally kills people. You must be a good athlete. I said, no, that ain't nothing but God. Being an athlete ain't got nothing to do with that. The only reason I'm still
My
here
Lord.
Is God. So that I know what that is. Because if you telling me that you don't see people live through that. I mean, both my lungs were full of gel. I was in the hospital for 20 days and on an aspirating machine for 15.
Yeah,
and I got there, and they couldn't figure out what it was. An old doctor walked in there, and he looked at me and said, I know what you guys say. You have pneumonia. He said, but I've never seen a case like this because it's turned to a gel. He said, and people don't live from that. And, oh, you must have been a good athlete. I said, no, that wasn't nothing but God. It ain't about nothing about me. That's God and God alone.
My Lord.
Amen.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
So my father, it was another situation, and they called us in. Said my father had a stroke, and blood was in his spinal cord. and they said he was going to die. And they said there was no way that he was going to live. And I prayed. And a couple of days later, and my father couldn't talk. He couldn't move, couldn't do anything. A couple of days later, my father was talking. Then a couple of days later, my father was walking. A couple of days later, my father was leaving the hospital. So, you know, God is able to heal. And my father lived for 15 years after that when they said that he was surely going to die. So Jesus is a healer, and calling on the name of Jesus is important. And this is why I'm so upset that Jesus is being taken out of our vocabulary and many of our prayers. And we just say, in the name of God or the Son of God, and instead of saying Jesus. So for those that are listening in, don't let Satan rob you of the healing that you can be getting.
Amen.
By stealing the name of Jesus from you. And I think it's very important that we not allow that to happen.
And Dr. Nooks and folks listening, and what I want them to know is that you don't have to wait for somebody to pray for you. King Hezekiah is a living example of that. He was told by the prophet that he was going to die. God sent the prophet to tell him, get your house in order because you're leaving here. And it's, the word says that Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed and cried. And before the prophet could get to the center of the courtyard, God told him, go back and tell him, I've heard his prayers and I've seen his tears, and I'm going to extend his years. So we don't have to wait for, if you are a believer, you don't have to wait for people to come and pray for you and lay hands on you. You got a relationship, you need to ask. You need to tell the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
And so
Amen.
Many times we don't. We think we got to call the pastor, we got to call the deacons, we got to call the mother of the church. No, you got a relationship.
So... what about other people, Dr. Nix? I don't know if you were headed towards this, but, you know, we've talked about other people praying for themselves, but do we believe that other people can heal? Do we believe that I can lay hands on you and you can receive healing? Do you believe in that type of thing? Or do you feel that that was those miracles stopped?
Well, I believe in healing. Laying on of hands, but it's not healing. Doesn't come from people. The healing power comes from God, and that's
Amen.
Where I think some of our folks get confused, and they run around and follow a person around and think that person has the healing, but that person doesn't have the healing. God has the healing, and when we start worshiping the person instead of God, then we've missed the whole message. And I believe God does empower people with the gift of healing, but the healing comes from God, not from people.
Amen.
Well, and the people should always point back to God. That's what Jesus always did. As you know, if you're going to be in that kind of posture where you're laying hands on people or you're doing that you need to be directing that back to the Lord and where it should be. So, Britt, do you believe
Amen.
In that you can in healing?
Oh yes, most definitely.
I mean, laying somebody.
Oh yeah, I have done that with some people, and they're up walking around today. But it wasn't me that did it; it was just my faith. I asked God to use me as His point of instrument, and whatever His will would be. Good example, I got a real close friend. I call her my sister because she was given to my mom and dad years before I was even born. But she had a son named Gregory. Gregory used to go with us to the vacation Bible school, and I had come back from the military. And so we went to a park up on the north side of Indianapolis, where they had a swimming pool. Everybody ate, and somebody was watching to make sure it was an hour after everybody had ate so they could go in the pool. So they went to the pool, and my nephew Gregory asked my mother if he could go, and she said, yeah, be careful. And at that time, me and my wife walked down to the pool, and we were watching everybody swimming and everything. And then all of a sudden, I didn't see Gregory. Nobody else seemed to know him because there were so many kids there. So I got up and walked inside the gate, went over to the lifeguard, and I said, I'm missing my nephew. And so she started looking, I started looking, and then something said, look down. I looked down, and he was laying at the bottom of the pool. Lifeguard jumped in, got him out. We started CPR. She couldn't find the pulse. He wasn't breathing. I took over doing the CPR, and as I did it, I prayed. By the time the ambulance got there, he was conscious, awake, and the only thing I asked God, I said, thank you for allowing him to come back. I said, Lord, make sure that he has no problems with his brain, speech, thinking, eyesight, or anything else. And I ask it in the name of Jesus. Gregory's alive today, doing good. He went into the Army, became a paratrooper, served his time. He now works for one of the cell phone companies. And I'm so thankful that he's alive today because he tells everybody, he says, if it wasn't for my Uncle Britt praying for me, I wouldn't be here today. And God has been blessing me.
Amen.
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 Amen. So our listeners, I mean, you've heard a lot of stories here about healing. And verse 40 through 45 talks about lepers being healed. And if there's any disease that probably is comparable to that today, it's probably AIDS. Where leprosy not only became a physical illness, but it also became a social illness. And the woman with the issue of blood was another example where they became social outcasts. So if you have a disease that people don't want to be around you anymore, which leads to something that Eric was talking about earlier, depression and anxiety.
Amen.
There's also healing in Jesus for that type of situation because Jesus healed the lepers. But Jesus can also touch us with that depression and anxiety. And I wanted us to look at one more text, and I know, Dr. Susie, it's almost time to go. But I want us to look at Matthew 11, 25 through 30. Matthew 11, 25 through 30. Can somebody get that for us?
This is Eric. Matthew 11, 25 to 30.
Yes.
This is the New Living Translation. Then Jesus prayed this prayer, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, thank you for hiding the truth from those who think themselves so wise and clever and for revealing it to the childlike. Yes, Father, please you to do it this way. My Father has given me authority over everything. No one really knows the Son except the Father, and no one really knows the Father except the Son, and those whom the Son chose to reveal him. Then Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke fits perfectly, and the burdens I give you is light.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So, Brother Eric, what does that say to those that have depression and anxiety?
There you go. You just need to turn it all over to God. Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens. I will give you rest. A commandment. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle. You will always find rest for your soul, the word says, in Christ Jesus. For my yoke fits perfectly. And the burdens I give you are light. So that stuff we carrying around, that ain't of God. That ain't of Jesus. That's some man-made stuff.
Amen.
That's some snakeology. That's some stuff that we put on ourselves that we don't need to. That ain't of God. And we need to quit. We just need
to
quit.
Let me read the message. The message says, you guys mind if I read the message real quick?
Oh, no. No, love to hear it.
It says, abruptly Jesus broke into prayer. Thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. You've concealed your ways from sophisticates and know-it-all, but spelled them out clearly to ordinary people. Yes, Father, that's the way you like to work. Jesus resumed talking to the people, but now tenderly, the Father has given me all these things to do and say. This is unique, a unique Father-Son operation, coming out of Father and Son intimacies and knowledge. No one knows the Son the way the Father does, nor the Father the way the Son does, but I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone who's willing to listen. Are you tired,
my Lord,
worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me and watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly.
My Lord. Amen. Amen. So does this address a lot of the illnesses that we have in society?
This is Eric. Absolutely, Dr. Nooks. But you know what? And I've said this before, but you know what I struggle with, or I think most people struggle with, is that we don't believe it's just that easy. Christ has clearly told us, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. There is no prerequisite there other than coming to Christ. It didn't say you got to clean up. It didn't say you got to get yourself right. It didn't say you got to make plans. It just says, come to me. Come
Amen.
As you are. No pretenses.
Amen.
Come as you are. Be authentic in what you are and who you are, and come to me and lay it at my feet and let me give you the rest that you are struggling to try to find.
My Lord.
And it's just that simple if you accepted Christ. It's just that simple.
Amen. Amen. Dr. Susie, you read
something.
So
why do we
make
it hard?
Dr. Susie, you read something I think our hearers need to listen to again. When you said about being free from religion or the church, what was that line again in that you read? Can you read that again?
It was right after Jesus was talking about how no one knows the Son the way the Father does, nor the Father the way the Son does.
Yeah, yeah.
And he says he's not keeping that to himself, but he's ready to go over line by line with anybody who wants to listen. He says, are you tired, worn out, burnt out on religion? Come to me.
My Lord.
Get away with me and you'll recover your life. And I think it's kind of like connected to what Brother Eric and Brett and everybody's been saying, is that we get caught up trying to do church according to tradition. And we get so caught up in dotting the I's and crossing the T's, and it goes right back to what Eric said about this is not complicated. What's complicated is when we start keeping tally on the Smith and the Jones and the Robinsons and trying to be like them and do like them. Instead of waking up every morning, going to the Lord, having that daily rendezvous with God. And as we do so, growing to the point to where we won't get stressed out and burn out when we're doing it in the Lord, when we're doing it in ourselves, yeah, we're going to get worn out. But when we submit and let God take those burdens in the struggle you know, stop being tired, stop being worn, stop being burnt out, because we're doing it in our own might. And let
Amen.
God use, lead, guide, and direct us, because we've been doing this Bible study for over 15 years. And it hasn't been without a break for a long time. But the reality is, it's not about, it's because we're utilizing the gifts of all of us. It's because we realize that it's bigger than who we are. None of this is about me or Dr. Nooks or Brother Eric or Brother Brett. This is about God's work going forth that somebody somewhere might hear. And as they hear tonight, somebody's got to be hearing, are you tired? Are you wore out? Are you burnt out? Stop looking at people. Stop worrying about what folks at church do or folks on your job do. Focus on your personal relationship with God. And God will
Amen.
Help you recover your life and show you what it
Amen.
Really means to rest and abide in Him.
Amen. Amen. And so many of us are looking for that rest, aren't we? Those that are listening in,
absolutely.
I mean, like Dr. Susie said, we're tired, we're worn out, and even sometimes our religion puts pressures and burdens on us, and God doesn't want to do that. God wants to give us rest and peace. He says, my peace I give,
and
not as the world gives. Yes.
And it's not easy. It's not easy. I mean, it should be easy, but we don't make it easy. Like Eric said, folks
Amen.
Don't want to believe it's easy. It's we make it complicated, and I'm talking about we because I'm talking about me. I'm saying it's, we know what to do. We know that God says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. We know that God, if God sent you on the journey, God's going to provide and work it out. But yet we get in the midst of trials and tribulations, and we get caught up in how to hold on, survive. What's next? How are we going to do this? Knowing that if God sent it, God's going to provide. But that humanity of ours, that humanness of ours begins to fret, and we have to continually talk to ourselves, have friends and family talk to us, those of you. You know, I admit I don't have it perfect, but I get better every year. Every time it seems I go through something, it's like I get to the point. You know, this time I didn't scream, holler, yell. The last time I experienced it, wasn't screaming, hollering, yelling, and crying in the floor. Because that happens. But I was able to say, okay. Now I'm stressed on the inside. Say, Lord, I know that you got this, but you know my humanity is struggling, and I need you to help me. And we
my
need
Lord.
To be real with the fact that we don't always have it together. But God,
Amen.
Will get us
well,
where
this
we need
is
to
this
be.
Is Eric. We need to be real with that piece. But I still submit, and I still believe wholeheartedly that when you are praying to God and you remind God of stuff that He's already done, that you are aware that He's done, God. And this is Eric. So you know, I ain't trying to get anybody else to follow this vision. This is Eric and his vision. God is sitting there saying, yeah, I did do that, didn't I? I did do that, yeah. That was me, yeah. So let me show you what I'm getting ready to do for you now. Boom, here you go. Just so that you know, it is me. You remind me, when Solomon and David prayed, they always reminded God of stuff that He had already done for them and their ancestors. And then God did
Amen.
Something
Amen.
Else.
Amen.
And what we need to remember is that when we on our knees, all we need to think back is to the last thing that God brought us through. We didn't think
Amen.
We'd get through that.
Amen.
And He brought us along. He
Amen.
Is the author
see,
and the finisher of our faith. So.
But we also have to remember, just like one person may have a struggle with alcohol, and someone else may have a problem with drugs, and someone else may have a problem with chasing women. You know, we all have challenges in our areas of our lives that where we're stronger in one place than others are. And so we need to, you know, realize that, you know, this is still about grace. This is still about faith. It's still about us growing to where God wants us to be. And understanding exactly what you said, we have hope, heritage of previous experience, that what God has done previously, God will do even more, because God's the same day,
Amen.
Yesterday, and forever. So because we
Amen.
Know that, it should be easier. And for me, Brother Eric, I'm talking about me. I ain't talking about nobody else. I get better with it every time I encounter something. I can directly go to my knees and say, Lord, I know you're going to get me through this, but help me in the areas where I start to worry, you know, because I can't control it. Some of us think we need to be in control. So, you know, I'm just being real.
Lord.
But some
Amen.
Of y'all mastered it to where it ain't no big deal. And, you know, God's got you every time you go someplace, something bad happened. Oh, God's got it. I mean, you know, that's great. But that ain't me. I'm getting there, but I ain't there yet.
Yeah, I don't think any of us are there yet, Dr. Seuss. I think we're all striving. Well, Dr. Seuss, it's 8:01, so we turn it over to your leadership.
Well, it's at this time we're going to close in prayer. And, Eric, if you're on the line, can you close us with prayer and give us an offer of extend the invitation.
Yeah, I'm still here. I'd be happy to
okay.
do that. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we, thy humble servants, come before you this day, knowing that we are not worthy except through your Son, Jesus Christ, who willingly gave his life on Calvary's cross. He was beaten for our iniquities and bruised for our transgressions. Gave his life's blood that we may be cleansed of our impurities and brought back to you. And we are eternally grateful for that, Father. And now for those, Father, who don't have an authentic relationship with you and who have not accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, Father, we would tell them that if they would pray this prayer, Father, that, Lord Jesus Christ, if you would come into my life and take control of my life to be my Savior, that I surrender my life to you, that you may have control to lead, guide, and direct me. Strengthen me in your way and in your will, that I may be a humble servant. Understanding, Father, that they are not going to have it all put together, but that Christ would come in because they would ask, and that he would take up residence to guide, direct, and lead them, and that the Holy Spirit would follow to give them truth and knowledge in the way that they should go. And then, Father, that they would find a local church, Father, where they could gather with those of like mind to study and worship. And for those of you that are praying that prayer, understand that Christ has come in and taken control of your life to live with you as long as you would have him. Christ doesn't break in, but once he's invited in, he comes to dwell. Accept that and know that you are saved at that particular point and that God loves you because Christ gave his life for you. Father, we ask that your hand would be upon all of us and that you would meet our needs, that you would heal our bodies, that you would provide all that we need in job and love and family and all that is going on in our lives, Father, and that for this world, Father, a dying world, that we would be the light of the world and that we, your servants, would proclaim your message from the mountaintops, from the valleys, from the state house, just to the outhouse, from everywhere that we go, that people will know that we are your servants, not just because we walk and talk like you, but because we live as Christ lived. And that's a tough thing in this world when people are dogging you and talking about you and trying to hurt you and misuse you. It's so easy for us, Father, to be humanistic and want to retaliate and fight back. We want to turn that all over to Christ, that he would lead and guide us and direct us. So, Father, we thank you. We can never thank you enough with 10,000 tongues every day. But for your precious Son, Jesus Christ, who gives us the opportunity for salvation to be with you eternally after we quit this busy walk of life, we are eternally grateful. May your hand be upon us. May you smile upon us. May you guide and direct us, that we may serve you in all that we do and say. In your Son, Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen.
Amen. We want to welcome those of you who have accepted Christ in your life tonight. If you'd like to join us next week, feel free to call in at 646-478-4932. God's blessings be with you.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.
Hey, Brett, could you call me? Mm-hmm.